From IPM News, this is 217 Today. I'm Ferry Anderson. It's Monday, April 22nd. Coming up, we'll learn more about an ancient farming practice that's getting a new life and reducing emissions. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. As of Friday, Illinois is once again home to a federally recognized tribal nation. Peter Medlin has more.
175 years ago, Potawatomi Chief Chabanais left his home in DeKalb County to visit family in Kansas. He returned home to find that the U.S. government had illegally sold 1,280 acres of his northern Illinois land. The tribe says that the U.S. Department of the Interior has now placed portions of that land into a trust for the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. Prairie Band Chairman Joseph Rupnik, who is Chabanais' fourth-generation great-grandson, said in the announcement that it was a step towards righting a historical wrong and continuing their place as an original part of DeKalb County. Democratic Representative Lauren Underwood's 14th congressional district includes the area now in the trust. According to the statement, she applauded the move and said she's proud to represent the first federally recognized reservation in Illinois. Several bills have been introduced in Congress over the past few years to compensate the tribe for the stolen land. Along with the Potawatomi, Illinois is the ancestral home of several Native tribes, including the Ojibwe and Ottawa. I'm Peter Medlin.
Young adults incarcerated in Illinois prisons could soon have access to educational opportunities and mental health services. Democratic State Senator Laura Murphy has a bill that would allow 18 to 21-year-olds to transfer to juvenile facilities for vocational training and higher education courses. James Swansea is with Restore Justice, a nonprofit aimed at helping formerly incarcerated people reintegrate into society.
As a person that was incarcerated as a child, I definitely would have loved to have this opportunity that this bill presents to further my education.
Individuals would also have access to group therapy, substance use treatment, and case management help. The bill now heads to the Senate floor for a full vote. Today is Earth Day, when the world focuses on environmental protection. On Saturday, Crystal Lake Park in Urbana was filled with people learning about ecology. IPM's May Antar was there.
The Urbana Park District had live music, food trucks, and an array of activities at Saturday's Earth Day event. But education and research were also on display. Shidich Tavari is a PhD student at the University of Illinois, studying how accessible and inclusive green spaces are for queer people. Tavari designed a survey for the Urbana Park District for everyone to give some feedback on how accessible and welcoming the event was for them.
It felt like a great opportunity to interact with people and understand how these events help with their sense of belonging and if they have any interaction with their gender or sexual identity.
On May 18th, Urbana's recycling program will hold its electronics recycling event, but people must sign up on the city's website. May Antar, IPM News.
The Fighting Illini football team played in their annual Orange and Blue spring game Saturday afternoon at Memorial Stadium. IPM News reporter Colin Highslope has more.
Projected starting quarterback for Illinois Luke Altmaier threw for 2 touchdowns and 116 yards against the Illini defense. Sophomore wide receiver Malik Elzey led the team with 6 catches and a touchdown catch. Head coach Brett Bielema spoke after the game about Altmaier and the other QBs.
Really was excited to see how our the quarterbacks interacted with the defense coming at him, probably as live as we've had all spring, so thought we protected the ball well.
Illinois will open up the 2024 regular season when they host Eastern Illinois on August 29th. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about an ancient farming practice that's getting a new life and reducing emissions. That story is next on 217 Today.
Based on real-life events, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office from Masterpiece is a shocking story of ordinary people locked in a battle against a powerful government-owned corporation. For more than a decade, the government blamed British Post Office managers for missing funds, which ruined lives and reputations. But workers uncovered glitches in the Post Office's own computer system, which it had denied for years. Friends of WILL can binge all 4 episodes of the series now with Passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. As the country tries to meet its climate goals, tackling emissions from farming will be key. Agriculture is the fifth largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. One climate-friendly growing technique called biochar involves literally burying carbon in the ground. And as Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports, proponents say it's good for crops too.
Nick Cacchetti is mixing up something special in a bucket on his family farm in Lubering, Missouri.
This is biochar.
Biochar. It's a soil amendment, kind of like compost. And it's a super hot topic in sustainable agriculture. It looks a lot like charcoal. Instead of burning the organic matter, it's cooked at a high temperature with almost no oxygen. As Cacchetti pours the biochar onto vegetable beds, you can hear what makes this substance special. It is extremely hollow and porous. So why is Cacchetti so excited about this stuff?
Pure carbon. You know, you put it in soil, it's just there. You can just forget about it. It's gone.
Biochar is a direct way to sequester carbon, which is driving climate change. But there's a lot more to the climate-friendly practice. Biochar proponents say it creates a sustainable cycle of benefits on farms. For instance, recycling organic waste like corn stalks to make soil healthier and bury carbon. Isabel Lima first got interested in biochar more than 20 years ago, before scientists were even calling it that.
We were trying to address the incredible amounts of waste that agriculture produces.
Lima is a research chemist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and sits on the board of a nonprofit that advocates for biochar. She says indigenous people in the Americas have been using something like biochar for centuries. They would burn agricultural waste and put it back in the soil.
And look very deep in the soil and the Amazon, for example, and we determined that those soils that we would otherwise expect to be very infertile are actually very fertile because of those practices.
Without knowing it, these indigenous farmers were creating a demonstration for modern agricultural scientists. Now, we know biochar makes a really friendly environment for microbes, which can be great for soil and help crops thrive. That's something Scott Boer has seen firsthand. He owns Four Winds Farm with his wife in eastern Iowa. They grow organic hemp, flowers, and herbs. When they first started farming this land in 2020, they had a soil test done.
It was lacking in lots of different areas, so we spent a good bit of money on phosphorus, potassium, nitrogen.
They also applied biochar. Since then, Boer hasn't had to add fertilizer again. He thinks that's because the biochar is holding onto nutrients. Research backs that theory. Less fertilizer is easier on the environment and cheaper. But Boer says the biochar cost benefit takes a while to show up.
If you're in it for the long haul, I think it's a great investment, but it is quite an expense up front.
Cost is one of the biggest hurdles to widespread use, says Miles Gray, program director at the U.S. Biochar Initiative.
It's a relatively small industry. It's growing very quickly. And a lot of that growth is related to the carbon benefits of biochar.
Gray says thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, there are new federal funds to incentivize climate-friendly farming practices, including biochar. But getting farmers into it is still a challenge. Back in Missouri, Cacchetti has experience with this. He used to sell biochar in his first job after college and knows it has to add up for farmers. As he spreads more biochar out on his farm, he's especially excited that this is a long-term climate solution.
And once you put it in the soil, it's permanent. You can't, like, go fish it back out.
Experts say this carbon will be locked into the soil for generations.
Pretty quick layer.
For Harvest Public Media, I'm Kate Grumke.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 66 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Peter Medlin, Mawa Iqbal, May Antar, Colin Highslope, and Kate Grumke. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.